It certainly is good to have this time to fellowship one with another, as some of the faces I have not seen since last BMCR. So it's good to see all of you here today. It is also very good to have the opportunity to stand before you, even though I'm a little bit on the spot since Zan is not here and I was depending on him to do the heavier portion of this presentation. But be that as it may, and I just wanted to share with you, because my task was to point out the critical needs of ministry in claiming higher ground. So I just wanted to share with you some of my thoughts as I looked at what we need to be intentional about as we look toward the future. To do this, and knowing that I was going to be among brothers and sisters of the cloth, I figured that it would be better for me to undergird it with some scripture. So from Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then the 18th chapter and the 18th verse. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the first scripture, the promise is made to Peter after that great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And after founding the very church on this confession, Jesus makes the promise to Peter, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the second instance, Jesus makes the promise to the Christians assembled together, the church. The figures bind and loose originally referred to decisions as to what is forbidden and what is permitted. So according to Matthew, Jesus says, whatever you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. And so this gives us a principal agent relationship with God. This gives us the opportunity to be in a contractual relationship with Christ. We are his representatives. We are his agents. Whatever we do on earth, we are representing a higher power. So it seems to me that we need to claim this higher power and move up to the high ground. We are agents of the principle, so we have to be careful with our power. The power is not given to us to lord over others. Rather, we are given power so that our ministry becomes the gateway for the unlimited, unconditional revelation of the love of God. In the black church, we have to be very careful about power. I'm a little uncomfortable because the doors are open. And you know, I want for us. This is something that Thank you. In the black church, we have to be very careful about power, as lay people have the tendency, because of who we are, to put us on pedestals. And if we are not careful, we can spend more time in pedestal maintenance than in ministry. The power that we find in the words of Jesus is a power that calls us to be radically different. In fact, Nowen in the book In the Name of Jesus calls us to have a servant leadership role. He says that this role is radically different in that we are vulnerable servants needing the people as much as they need us. Our lay people are now beginning to express a need for this kind of leadership, where the minister is not placed on a pedestal, but where the minister is human, with human frailties, and in need of God's grace, just as they do. So to be sure, we should not take the scripture in isolation. And I think Jesus might have realized our tendency to do this. For the second time, Jesus gives a promise to the whole church and not just to ministers, as represented by the figure of Peter in our text in the first instance. We are not called to maintain pedestals. We are called to be servant leaders. We are called to claim the high ground. So to be a servant leader also means that we must get our hands dirty. We must be in ministry with community. All of us have heard about the drug crisis in our communities. Our ghetto economy is based on a crack economy. And in this meeting and in the meetings that I have participated in for the last couple of weeks, we are reminded constantly that one out of four black males between the ages of 19 and 29 are in the criminal justice system. We are losing a generation of black youth and young people to drugs. And when we ask the presenters, what is the solution to the problem, almost all of them have said that we need a male mentoring program. So the role of the male in our communities is very important. And we have to give them, the males have to give our young males a sense of who they are and whose they are. And it has to be taken very seriously, because this is a crisis. And so we have to get our hands dirty. Get involved with saving our children. Not only male mentoring programs, but female mentoring programs. For our mothers are killing our children by the use of drugs and transmitting the AIDS virus to them. So we need female mentoring programs as well. There is no future for the black church if we lose a whole generation of young people. Bishop Felton May says, we are dealing with a spiritual crisis. Our society, he continues on, is in the throes of a moral deterioration. And the drug and alcohol crisis is only one manifestation of that deterioration. The church has to deal with the crisis. For believe it or not, Bush is not interested. Bush doesn't really care about our youth and young people. We are the ones to whom God gave the power to forbid and permit here on earth. We have the power to make the difference with programs of rehabilitation for addicts, housing for abused and abandoned children, religious education, youth groups, after school tutoring, and male and female mentoring programs. We have the power. If we understand that to be a servant leader also means getting our hands dirty and helping our community to claim the higher ground. I read an article the other day in one of those religious news and brief magazines. And it stated that the United Methodist Church was likely to keep the guaranteed ministerial appointments. Now, there has been a silent giant that is about to awaken. The laity is gaining momentum as they seek to eliminate guaranteed appointments. The article said that the study commission decided to keep the system, listen to this, because it is necessary in order to protect the inclusive nature of our church. Now that's good talk. However, I can't remember one time in the life of this church that they have done anything that would guarantee inclusiveness in the church. Now, maybe some of you who have been around longer than I can remember, but I don't remember anything that was done to guarantee the inclusiveness of the church. The article went on to say that guaranteed appointments are critical to protecting the rights of women and members of minority groups. Now, I'm sure that all of you remember the last time they protected our rights. Then I was reminded of a statement by Bishop Ernest Fitzgerald in the little pamphlet that Bishop Allen had, and in it it said, Bishop Fitzgerald said, it needs to be said, however, that the doctrine of inclusiveness is rooted not only in the teachings of Jesus, it is also apparent in any honest interpretation of Scripture, beginning with the story of creation. He says there is a clear announcement that we are the creatures of God. That is, that all of us are equally dependent upon God for existence. All this talk about guaranteed appointments, which also leads us to talk about open itinerancy. Bishop Allen said the question really is, this is my statement. The question really is open itinerancy a reality or a myth? Now, Bishop Allen says, what to do with Harry Hoosier, Richard Allen, and all the pioneering black Methodist preachers still remains a problem for this church to face. We still are not sure what to do with pioneering black preachers, nor pioneering black women who have also been called. Even after the the bishops sponsored the Center for United Methodist Pastoral Exchange, little has changed in terms of cross-racial appointments for blacks in the annual conferences. It is my opinion that the jury is still out. United Methodism's commitment to inclusiveness in the church is far from being decided. Now, let it not be said that we lack the power. We have the power under God to be in ministry wherever God sends us. As our grandmothers and daddies used to say, where God sends us, God equips us to go. So we have the tools to go anywhere that God sends us, and we must call this great church of ours into accountability on the issue of guaranteed appointments, which I believe goes hand in hand with open itinerancy. In fact, isn't it interesting that the issue of guaranteed appointments did not surface until we started talking about open itinerancy? And see, I know that some of us are worried about upward mobility and security to some extent. And I realize that we feel sometimes that the only way that we can have upward mobility is to go to a white church or to go to a board or agency, a superintendent's position or the bishopric. I understand that. But let me also caution you that there is a force in our community, and we need to reckon with our own churches. There seems to be a growing schism between the black clergy and lay people. Too many of our young pastors seem to think that they have a monopoly on God's power. You know, in the smallest situation, lay people outnumber us 10-1. God promised power to the church, and our power is to motivate and help our lay people to be visionaries with us. We are to empower the lay people to be in ministry. It is my contention that the role of the pastor is to finally work himself or herself out of a job by equipping the saints. Now, I know that not many amens on that. You see, Jesus was willing to give us power. Jesus was willing to give us the power to forbid and to permit. And we have to be willing to give the lay people some power. And by empowering our lay people, then we can move on to do some other things that God is calling us to do. For, you know, I believe that God is calling some of us to be prophets. We need some modern day prophets. We need some people who are willing to speak for God. We need some prophets in the political arena who are not afraid to go before the king and says, thus saith the Lord. We need some prophets who will go and say, I am speaking for God in behalf of the homeless, the helpless, those who are downtrodden. We need some prophets. But you know, prophecy is dangerous. In fact, most of the prophets that we have record of did not get out of the profession alive. And so a lot of us don't want to be in prophecy because we like comfort. And I don't say that I went out and said I don't like comfort. But we are supposed to be on the cutting edge if we really want to claim higher ground. Well, you know, there is also a lot of talk about codependency in the secular and religious press. In the secular press, often codependency gets a negative rap. But as Christians, we are supposed to understand codependency as a means of grace. God depends on us to bind and loose, and we depend on God to bind and loose. That's codependency. Now, let me say, as black brothers and sisters in the ministry, we are codependent. We cannot be engaged in competition. The crisis in our community is too great. And so we are codependent. We're linked up. We're inextricably bound together. And let me say to my brothers, you know, there's hardly ever a meeting with clergy women that somehow we don't get around to how to empower, how to lift up our black brothers. I wish you'd have some meetings around that for black sisters. We are in this together. We are not in competition. And we cannot be exclusive. Statistics tell us that there are about 47% of women in seminary across this country. That means that sooner or later, you are going to be serving in a city or a town with a clergy woman. And that means that we are going to have to find ways to be in mutual ministry. Anne Graham Lutz, the daughter of Billy Graham, made this statement. The issue is not whether women should be in ministry. The issue is whether those in ministry, women or men, have been called by God to be there. To have a powerful ministry speaks to whether God has called for. In the scriptures, we have already said Jesus has given us the power, those of us who are willing to be in his ministry. So we must each be free to be in ministry. And there is enough for all of us to do. There is work enough for even more of us to do. So remember, there is more that unites us than could ever divide us. Let's take each other's hands and be about our Father's business. Our communities need us, every one of us, to be in ministry with them. Notice that in everything that I have said, I have been consistent in saying that we are supposed to be in ministry with. Cannot be in ministry in a vacuum. And no matter how powerful we feel we are, we cannot bind and loose by ourselves. I think it is the Episcopal Church that has just passed a statement of ethical principles for their clergy. And if the Episcopal Church sees this need, will the other mainline denominations be far behind? It is important that we practice the ethics of Jesus. It is important that we remember that we are his agent, and as his agent, we are called to act as he would act. The agenda for all pastors is for us to get our acts together and begin to be engaged with the world for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You will have the power to forbid or permit. Now, let me close by saying, how ground is the mountain. We need to respect mountains. And we need to help our folk understand that they don't have to climb the rough side of the mountain. Mountains are high ground. And the scriptures tell us that mountains are high ground. All of you remember when Abraham and Lot were dividing up the land, and Lot took all of the fertile valley, and he took everything that looked green and luscious, and Abraham finally said, I'll take the mountain. And so when he got to the mountain, God met him there, and God said to him, Abraham, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. And Abraham looked all around, and God said, this is your inheritance. You see, our inheritance is as good as our eyesight. And let us remember that the mountain is what God gives us. When we claim the high ground, then God gives us all that is around us. And he circles us with his power and says, you can bind and loose on earth, and I'll do the binding and loosing in heaven.
Responses. Leroy, did you have, you had a, okay.
We are not in competition.
I think Velma has put a lot on our minds and has given us some ideas, some good sermon ideas, and has challenged us to confront the reality that does exist. Velma, we want to say thank you for sharing with us.